On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, I'm here with Andrea Nunez of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim organization. Andrea, thank you for coming on. Before we get going, I want to tell the listeners what we're going to do with this one. It's going to be a little bit different than I usually do. You had reached out to me and said you wanted to do a bilingual podcast. By the time this airs, we'll be, in the 60s or 70s in episodes, and I have yet to have somebody speak Spanish. Yeah. All the time we talk about how Latin players are so important and they're fun to be around and they make great jokes and all that stuff. So I'm game to do a bilingual podcast if you want to. Yeah. I think the best way is just te voy a preguntar algo en español o en inglés y tú vas a responder a mis preguntas en inglés y en español. ¿Está bien?
Yes. Sí, está bien.
Okay, perfect. So I'm going to ask you questions in English or Spanish, whatever pops up in the old melon, and then I'll let you run with both English and Spanish, and we'll just kind of move along there. So first and foremost, introduce yourself for the listeners. Tell us your current role, your responsibilities, your journey to this role. Preséntate, por favor.
Again, my name is Andrea Nunez. My full name, for those that are interested, is Andrea Michelle Nunez Martinez. You know, us Latins love to have nice long names. For the last years, I was the AZL strength conditioning coach for the LA Angels. And this upcoming season, it looks like I will be moving up to Low A Burlington. And so, my current responsibilities, obviously, with the lower levels is teaching. I do a lot of teaching, and I think as strength coaches, we all do it as we coach, but it's a very important thing for us to build that foundation for the players coming in, especially making a transition, from the Dominican to the States for the first time, trying to make it as smooth as possible, and really just being available. At that level, of course, we work with a lot of Latinos, and so it's not easy, and I've been there, so I try to be available as much as I can for them. And so here we go. Mi nombre es Andrea Núñez. Mi nombre completo es Andrea Michelle Núñez Martínez. Soy la entrenadora de rendimiento físico para Los Ángeles, para el equipo de Los Ángeles Angels. Y ahorita, los últimos dos años, he estado en la organización en el primer level. Entonces, lo que yo estoy encargada es del equipo rookie. Entonces, el primer año de los jugadores están conmigo. Eso ha sido los últimos dos años. El próximo año, esta temporada que viene, parece que voy a estar en la media, que va a ser en Burlington, Iowa. Y unos poquitos de mis responsabilidades con el equipo es dándole esa fundación a los jugadores, ¿verdad? Empezar a aprender de qué se trata el gimnasio, el condicionamiento. La transición que hacen los jugadores dominicanos hacia los Estados Unidos. Yo he estado ahí, donde no sé qué me están diciendo, ¿verdad? Entonces, y estar disponible para lo que ellos necesitan, ¿verdad? Estar disponible para si necesitan hablar de, oye, Andrea, ¿cómo encargamos una pizza? O, oye, Andrea, no sé qué entrenador X me está tratando de decir. Pero eso es lo que he estado haciendo los últimos dos años. Y este año, una nueva experiencia, ya veremos qué tal.
So hopefully all the listeners got that. I picked up most of it. The English translation before does help. Okay, so you've only been in baseball a few years, but you've been around the Latin guys, so I'm sure you have great stories for me. I want to hear your best professional baseball story. ¿Cuál es tu historia favorita en el béisbol?
Yeah, that's a good one, actually, and it's really simple, but I think any strength coach that has started, in the rookie level will appreciate. Es una historia muy simple, pero yo pienso que cualquier entrenador que ha empezado en los niveles más bajos apreciaría. We were in spring training this year, and, coming in as you know, the only female strength conditioning coach in the team, and, you know, being Latina, and, you know, being very different from your traditional strength conditioning coach. A lot of guys, especially on the major league side, you know, they were taken back a little bit, which I understand. And, you know, so I had this major league player that, you know, we'd always say hi to each other. You know, it wasn't nothing big. Hey, you know, what's up, whatever. And during spring training, they went down to the minor league side to take at bats. And he saw me and he hugged me. And for me, you know, in the position that I'm in, I was like, oh my God, I have just been welcomed into the brotherhood. I am in, you know. And so it was just this like huge, huge moment for me. And I think it's super simple, but I love, love that story. I don't think he even knows what an impact he made on my day. And it just, it literally felt like a weight was taken off my shoulders, you know, it with such a simple gesture. And so I'll go ahead and translate now. And en este año, durante spring training, mira que los jugadores de lado de grandes ligas y de las menores estamos separados. Entonces, yo entiendo que soy físicamente completamente diferente a lo que un entrenador de rendimiento se ve. Entonces, algunos de los jugadores del lado de grandes ligas a lo mejor como que no están acostumbrados conmigo. Entonces, este año, ¿verdad? Estaban ellos del lado de las menores, estaban haciendo sus entrenamientos. Y acostumbradamente, o cuando yo veía a los jugadores de las grandes ligas, pues los saludaba, nada diferente, y ya, lo dejamos ahí. Y este año, cuando vi a uno de los jugadores del lado de nosotros, que fui a saludarlo como siempre, él vino hacia mí y me dio un abrazo. Y yo me quedé como que, wow, ya me dio la bienvenida a la fraternidad, ¿verdad? Entonces fue algo muy especial, un gesto tan simple, pero que hizo una diferencia en mi mundo. Entonces, esa es mi historia favorita.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, we always kind of take pride on impacting players ourselves, but just the impact that they have on our lives sometimes with something as simple as that. And, you know, I got a phone call from one of our players this year in the off season, and he was just telling me, you know, thank you for everything this year. I didn't get to see you on the last day of the season, but I just wanted to give you a call and say thank you. And for me, that went so far, because I really feel like I put a lot of time in with that guy and we had gotten so close, and then we just didn't, you know, cross paths on the last day. And I was like, damn, I really wish we would have got to talk. And for him to call me, like, you know, I thought I had an impact on his, you know, season, but he had a big impact on me too, just with that call. So I can relate in your story. Yeah. It's really awesome to hear. And obviously you're smiling and you're very happy. So I can tell it really did have a big impact on you for sure.
It definitely did. It was awesome. It was just like the welcome that I was waiting for, that I didn't even know I wanted, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I understand completely. So a big reason why I wanted to have you on is you were the strength coach of the year in the AZL this year. I've said it many, many times on here. It's a peer-voted award. And so I want to know what it is that you're doing that is making you so successful. ¿Qué haces para tener éxito en tu trabajo?
No, sí, gracias. Yo creo que lo más importante es que yo sé que no estoy donde yo quiero estar. O sea, yo sé que todavía tengo mucho por qué recorrer en mi carrera. Entonces, eso para mí es muy importante. Mantener la humildad. Eso es siempre algo que desde chiquita mis papás me enseñaron, y es algo que yo pienso que es muy importante, la humildad. Y saber que uno no es perfecto, ¿verdad? O sea, como estamos hablando del impacto que los jugadores pueden tener con nosotros, como yo lo estoy tratando de enseñarles a ellos, ¿verdad? Cómo tener contabilidad de sus cosas, cómo ser responsables. Ellos me ayudan con eso también, ¿verdad? Como cuando se me acuerda hacer cierta cosa, ¿verdad? Yo digo, sí, mi culpa, completamente, ¿verdad? Y tomar responsabilidad de eso y también ser y tener la contabilidad de mi propia carrera. Yo pienso que eso es muy importante, pero más que todo, soy yo. Yo soy 100% yo, y estoy en un departamento con el departamento de rendimiento que mis hermanos, o sea, los otros entrenadores, me dan la bienvenida y me quieren como yo soy completamente. O sea, como soy mexicana y como soy latina y como quiero, me gusta joder y, o sea, todas las cosas que me hacen a mí ser yo, ellos me dan la bienvenida. Entonces, sin ellos, yo no pudiera ser exitosa porque me daría como un tipo de miedo ser yo misma en un ambiente donde en verdad al fin del día soy la única mujer entrenadora. Entonces, puede ser, especialmente al principio, tenía un poco de miedo y decía, bueno, a lo mejor tengo que hacer ciertas cosas para poder hacer buen impacto. Y no funcionaba, tenía que ser yo. Cuando yo supe, ¿sabes qué? Yo llegué aquí por ser yo misma, voy a seguir haciéndolo. Y me aceptaron, fue como lo mejor, el mejor sentimiento. Porque ahí es donde te dan la libertad de poder ser creativa, de poder ser tú, de poder enseñar a tu forma. Entonces, sin ellos, yo en verdad no hubiera tenido el éxito que tuve este año. You know, I really think that being in my position, I am fully aware that I am not where I want to be yet. You know, I have a lot of work to do, and I remain humble through all situations. And I think that is huge. I think that's something that my parents helped me out, you know, since I was growing up. And so remaining humble and knowing that I myself am not perfect, that has helped immensely. And, you know, just like we're talking about, like, players impacting us, just as we're trying to teach them how to be accountable and be responsible with their own things, they do the same for me. You know, like, if I forget to put certain things out or if I forget X, Y, and Z, they're like, hey, Dre, like, what's up? You know, and so they keep me accountable. So just knowing that I am a work in progress and, you know, I have that target that's never going to stop moving. And I'm always going to try to strive for it. I think that's what led me to where I am today.
Yeah, it's funny how, you know, you do something a certain way and then one day you forget something or you're just a little off and the player's like, hey, what's going on today? You got something on your mind? You got something going on? They can sniff it out. It's really funny. And I think it's just because we spend so much time together that we get to know their personalities. They get to know ours. And when you're a little off, they're going to let you know and keep you in the straight and narrow and keep you on the right path. So
they definitely do.
Yeah, that's really good for sure. So what do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing?
Cheering. I think everybody that has gone to any games where I've been in the dugout, I love to cheer on the players. We know when they're heading out, you know, high fives. When they're heading back into the dugout, high fives. You know, hey, guys, like, you know, if they're sitting down and not being part of the game, you know, it's like, hey, man, like, stand up. Let's cheer. Let's support each other on. And I think it's an aspect that people take for granted, you know, especially in the rookie levels where there's absolutely no more than five people watching you in the stands, you know, how do you make your own energy? And so I really, really like to be that person being loud. And I have all the players mimicking in the background, you know, because I like to cheer in Spanish. And so it's just that type of environment where I think people are not absolutely used to. And so when I come and do it, they're just like, what is she doing? You know, and so, but it's something that I think has definitely brought a good vibe and energy into the players, you know, knowing that no matter who's watching or who's not, you just gotta support each other on. And at the end of the day, I understand that they're competing against each other for a job, but they're still a team, we're still a family. So I think it's important, you know. And so durante los juegos, a mí me gusta mucho gritar. Yo soy muy gritona, me gusta cuando los jugadores salen al campo, sus high fives, cuando regresan, sus high fives, ¿verdad? Entonces, teniendo una vibra donde los jugadores quieren estar, si están sentados, hey, párense, vamos a echarle porras al que está haciendo X cosa, ¿verdad? Tenemos todos que ser parte del juego, especialmente a ese nivel donde nadie está viendo el juego, 5 personas a lo mejor, pero estamos solos. Y yo entiendo que están en competencia con cada uno para su trabajo, pero al fin del día somos un equipo y somos una familia, nos vamos a apoyar. Yo creo que eso es algo que no se ve mucho dentro de un entrenador de rendimiento, ¿verdad? Un entrenador de rendimiento como que no has hecho eso mucho, pero hasta los jugadores, especialmente porque lo mío es de ¡vamos, gente! Entonces ahí oigo el eco de los jugadores, ¡vamos, vamos! Ya, tratando de hacerme burla, pero les gusta. Entonces yo pienso que eso es algo un poquito diferente a lo que estamos acostumbrados.
Yeah, the thing is, like, people may not understand is the baseball culture in like Latin American cultures is so different. And I've never been to a winter ball game, but I've heard many stories about how loud it is and how the fans are always into it. And, you know, it's just crazy. And I mean, when I was a kid, we went to the Little League World Series to watch, and we went to the Mexican team was playing, and their family section just brought us in, and they're like, come cheer with us. And it was loud, and by the time the game was over, I was exhausted just from all the cheering that was going on and how loud it was. And that was at a Little League game, you know what I mean? Yeah. That wasn't like, it wasn't professional baseball, it was just Little Leaguers. And so yeah. I can only imagine, you know, maybe where you grew up and how things were, like, and the culture is just, that's second nature to you. And some people might be like, what's going on over there? And then
you know, 100%.
You're bringing the energy, and that's good. At that level, like you said, there's not a lot of people at the games. It's hot, it's repetitive, you know, it's hard to see the value in playing those games for some of those kids. And to be able to bring energy like that is awesome. I'm sure they feed off of it. And it may seem a little strange at first, but yeah. I think it's probably something really cool to see, especially when there's, you know, five people in the stands and they're all yeah. up all game long. That's cool.
Yeah.
So do you have any advice for others in the field, maybe young coaches looking to get in or older coaches that have been around? ¿Tienes algunos consejos para nosotros?
Yeah, I really think that humility just takes you so far. Because, and it's funny, because I had a seven-year-old ask me, like, Dre, what does humility mean? And my version of humility is knowing your own worth, but knowing that you're above nobody else. You know, we're all on the same playing level. And so knowing that, I think it's very important. Knowing what you bring to the table, but knowing that, you know, your table is huge and some people can bring something different to it and welcoming it. And I think nowadays we forgot that it's okay to not agree on everything. You know, it's okay to have discussions and to have disagreements. And I think it's an environment that as the strength conditioning staff we've built, and I have appreciated 100%, because, you know, there may be other ways that people run stuff and you can miss out on perspectives that are completely different. And so I think that is huge. And so knowing that we're all vulnerable and that we can remain humble as we still learn. But like I said, like, you gotta know your worth. You gotta know that what your stuff is about, and standing on it and being strong about it, and being strong in a sense that you, as like I said, you can have discussions with people who you may not agree with, and you walk out of there so much wiser. And, you know, knowing like, hey, I never thought about it that way. I might be wrong, you know, or I might be able to do it a different way where it's more efficient. And I think that is absolutely huge. And more than anything, work ethic. I cannot stress that enough. We have to have top-notch work ethic, because as you know, strength coaches, I mean, we're probably one of the first ones in the building and probably the last ones to leave, you know. So it's like, we can't run from it, and since we can't run from it, we just gotta attack it head on. And so I think that would be my biggest thing. You know, staying true to who you are is huge. I know at the beginning when I was hired, you know, the first month I was a little iffy, I wasn't sure how I would come across, or, you know, I was too worried. And then all of a sudden I was like, in my life have I been worried of what people think of me? Why am I going to start now? You know, so at that point it was kind of like, no, I'm going to be me. And if I fail, I'm going to fail being 100% me. And I can live with that. But if I fail and I know that I wasn't 100% me, I know at that point I would be very disappointed with myself. So I was like, I just got to stay true to who I am. Un consejo para todos los entrenadores, ¿verdad? Especialmente los que están empezando. Todos hemos estado en esa posición donde no estamos seguros de cómo atacar ciertas cosas, pero la humildad te va a llevar muy lejos. Y tuve un niño de 6, 7 años que me preguntó, Andrea, ¿qué significa humildad? Y para mí, mi definición de humildad es sabiendo quién eres tú y tu valor, pero saber que no eres mejor que nadie más. Todos somos iguales, ¿verdad? Pero tú sabes el valor que tú tienes y que tú puedes dar. Entonces, eso para mí es muy importante porque significa que puedes decir tu opinión con la confianza completa, pero puedes recibir crítica. Y eso es lo que hoy en día olvidamos. Olvidamos que podemos tener una conversación con alguien que a lo mejor no estamos de acuerdo con lo que están diciendo, pero eso está bien porque te dan ciertas perspectivas que a lo mejor un día nunca lo hubieras visto a su manera si no fuera por esa conversación, ¿verdad? Entonces, sabiendo que esas conversaciones se tienen que tener, no vamos a estar bien todo el tiempo correctamente, por eso necesitamos perspectivas diferentes de cada persona, siendo lo vulnerable es suficiente para saber que no somos perfectos. Y todos los días tenemos que aprender un poquito más. Pero más que todo, ¿verdad? El trabajo, la ética de trabajo que tenemos, especialmente en la carrera de rendimiento físico, somos los primeros en llegar y los últimos en irnos, ¿verdad? Mucho del tiempo. Entonces, sabiendo que eso va a estar ahí, las horas se tienen que trabajar. Entonces, si las podemos trabajar lo más duro posible, dando todo de nosotros, cada hora, ahí es cuando se siente rico saber que uno está trabajando fuerte, ¿verdad? No, no hay algo peor que trabajé 12 horas, pero no tengo ni idea qué hice en todo el día. Entonces, trabajar duro, eso nunca, nunca es más importante que otra cosa. Siendo 100% tú todo el tiempo es algo que yo pienso que aprendí muy rápido, especialmente el primer mes que yo estuve con los Angels. No estaba segura, ¿verdad? Era un ambiente diferente a lo que yo estaba acostumbrada. Entonces, no estaba segura cómo actuar, cómo ser. Y en mi vida a mí me importaba lo que la gente dice de mí. Entonces dije, ¿por qué ahora me va a importar? No hay importancia en las opiniones de los demás si eres 100% tú mismo. Entonces, yo pienso que eso es muy, muy importante que los entrenadores, especialmente los que están empezando, tiene que tener en mente.
Yeah, whether in English or Spanish, that's all really, really good. And I love the concept of knowing what you bring to the table, but knowing that the table is big. I've never really heard somebody explain it like that. And it just makes so much sense to me. There's plenty of room at the table for all of us to bring our own thoughts and our own ideas. And instead of just eating our specific meal, like, why not share our food with others? Like, I love the concept of that. I'm probably going to steal it from you, to be honest. Yeah. Thank you for that. And then the work ethic thing for me is like, I was raised to be, you know, a workhorse, to always be working. My wife gets mad at me because I'll sit still for 5 minutes and I'll get antsy and want to do something. It's in my blood. And the thing is, like you said, we're the first ones there. We're the last ones to leave. And the whole day we're working. There's something that we can be doing. It's not like, you know, the manager gets there 3 hours early and just sits and watches TV in his office. Like, right. No, we're there early. We're working out. We're getting supplements ready. We're prepping for the day. When the guys are there, they're working out. They're conditioning. They're stretching. We're handing out water. We're getting food ready. There's tons of things that we do all day. And so it's not like a fluff 11 hours or whatever. It's a hard 11 hours. And then you go home and you try to find some reading time and then you sleep and you do it again. Like, yeah. If you don't have that, it's going to be a very, very difficult profession for you long term. And I think especially when you first get in, like, you really need to put yourself in a good spot to succeed. And the only way to do that really is to work hard and to be humble, like you said. So I'm on board, whether it's in English or Spanish, on that one, 100%. And then kind of going along the lines of just, you know, continuing to stay on top of things and continuing to learn, where are you going for continuing at? Are there any books that you like reading, podcasts you listen to, seminars you attend, just any continuing ed resources that you have for us?
Yeah, I love reading. And I don't actually do a whole lot of, I do a whole lot more reading on mental stuff than I do on actual strength conditioning concepts. So I do read about that, obviously, because we have to continue learning. I am more hands-on when it comes to strength conditioning. So I like when people teach me, I'm hands-on, you know, that works a lot better for me. But as far as books, and this goes out for everybody, and I think if you have the stomach to read about what women have to go through in third world countries, this book talks about how to change cultures at a massive level. And it's called A Moment of Impact. And I've learned a lot from it, and it's concepts that I want to try to incorporate this year coming up, because, you know, baseball's culture, you know, trying to get the Latinos to do certain things and they don't believe in it because it's not their culture. And it's like, if we can create a culture, you know, where we're all different, but we're all moving in the same direction, I think is huge. And so this book talks about, you know, changing cultures at massive levels where it's like population and entire country. So I feel like if they can do that, we can do it at the baseball level. And it's a very intense book, but it is very helpful if you listen to the concepts of it. Another huge one is Ego is the Enemy, I think is huge. You know, when we talk about, you know, having this huge table where we could all eat at, and we can just leave the ego literally at the door, we can bring some delicious food onto that table that we can all be a part of, and that we will all walk out of there full and more knowledgeable and heading into the right direction instead of, you know, everybody veering off to different sites. And so those two for me are huge, huge books, especially because talking about change the culture and talking about being the change of the culture. I think it's huge. No estoy segura si estos dos libros están en español, pero para los que puedan leerlos y si lo están, hay dos libros que me gustan mucho. Uno que se llama El Momento de Impacto, y es un libro que si no tienes el estómago para leer de lo que mujeres en otros países tienen que pasar, no te lo recomiendo, pero si tienes el estómago y una mente abierta, este libro habla de cómo cambiar culturas al nivel nacional, o sea, de países enteros, de comunidades enteras. Y los conceptos que usan son muy específicos, ¿verdad? Y en la cultura del béisbol todavía estamos tratando de cambiarla, de que la gente tiene que entender que todos somos diferentes, pero todos podemos ser diferentes y moviéndonos a la misma meta. Entonces, los conceptos de cómo cambiar una cultura son muy buenos en ese libro. El segundo libro es El Enemigo es el Ego. Y hablando de cambiar culturas, tienes que empezar contigo mismo. Tienes que saber que el ego se tiene que ir, punto, ¿verdad? Y ese libro es muy bueno en explicando de que el mundo no te debe nada. No importa cuánto has trabajado, cuánto no, bla, bla, bla. El mundo no te debe nada, y sabiendo eso y dejando el ego fuera es algo muy importante para poder cambiar una cultura. Entonces, el primer libro te enseña un poquito de cómo cambiarla, y el segundo libro te enseña un poco de cómo cambiarte a ti mismo para poder cambiar la cultura.
Right on. I have read Ego is the Enemy. I haven't read the other. I will definitely have the stomach to read it. So, it sounds like a worthwhile book for us to look into, so I'm definitely going to look into it. This has been fun. It's been challenging for me and getting me out of my comfort zone a little bit. I'm not a huge fan of speaking Spanish, especially not when everybody's going to be able to hear it. So hopefully I didn't mess up too much. But I have four questions for you. Quick lightning round. If you have time, I'd like to run through it. What do you got? You got time for me?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so first question. Biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning, who is it?
Lee Fiocchi. He is our major league strength conditioning coach. I interned for him and his company in Houston, DST, Dynamic Sports Training. And that was when I realized this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And he is so intellectual. And he knows so much that sometimes when he talks, I'm just like, oh my God, you gotta slow it down for me just a little bit so that I can catch on, because he's so intellectual about everything that he does and the concepts. He loves to read, and all of my foundation of strength conditioning has definitely come from him.
You want to go Spanish too in the lightning round, or you want to go only English?
I'll do Spanish as well. Este, mi mayor influencia en la carrera de rendimiento sería el hombre Lithio. Lithio es el entrenador de las grandes ligas para nosotros aquí con los Angels. Yo hice un trabajo para él mientras yo estaba en la escuela en Houston. Y él tiene una compañía que se llama Dynamic Sports Training. Ahí es donde yo aprendí todas mis fundaciones de rendimiento físico, las aprendí yo ahí con él. Y en verdad es una persona súper inteligente. A veces cuando habla tengo que decir, nomás un poquito más despacio, por favor, para poder entenderlo, ¿verdad? Porque es tan intelectual en todo lo que piensa, le encanta leer. Entonces, todo lo que yo sé, o lo que sea hasta este punto, lo sé gracias a la fundación que él me dio durante ese tiempo que yo trabajé con él. Y es alguien que, en verdad, si tú estás listo para aprender, está listo para enseñarte.
One piece of equipment to train with, what would it be?
80-pound dumbbell. 80 I thought about this one.
Specific, very specific.
Yes, I thought about this one because I was going to say barbell, and I was like, wait, but I still need, you know, weight to put on. So I was like, no, I'll go with the dumbbell. I think that if it's heavy enough, you can use it, you know, bilaterally, unilaterally, so it's not a big, obstacle as far as like, oh, I wonder what I can do. It's like, no, you can do a bunch of things with it. So that's the one for me. Este, una pieza del gimnasio que si tuviera la única opción de usarla sería una marcuerna de 80 libras. Yo pienso que es fácil usarla si lo quieres usar para ciertos movimientos que sean con dos pies, dos manos, una mano, dos manos, no importa, todas las diferentes conceptos que puedes usar para la marcuerna, pero tiene que ser lo suficientemente pesado para mí personalmente, obviamente. Entonces, 80 libras en la marcuerna y yo pienso que es perfecto.
Biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
Yeah, this one might be a little long, but I'll run with it. I am the first Latina strength conditioning coach in professional baseball. And for me, that is absolutely huge, not for myself, but because of where I come from. I am originally from Ciudad Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico, and unfortunately, that city, just the city itself, leads the world in killings of women per day. So I'm not supposed to be here. I am supposed to be another statistic. I am supposed to be, not here. And I think if girls from Ciudad Juarez and just Mexico overall can see that you can dream as big as you want, and if you fight and you fight like hell, you can get there. And it's not an easy journey, but it's worth it. And so for me, not the title itself, but the message behind it is so important to me, because I want to be that tiny little light for these girls, and even for little boys that are in Mexico that are not sure they can make it, they can. And so if I can take that message and send it, and they can see someone that looks like them and talks like them and has lived where they lived and, has the struggles that they have, I think it's huge. I think it's so, so huge. And I think that if just by them, seeing me or hearing about me can give them a little faith that they can do it, that is a huge, huge thing for me. I want to be as involved in my community as I can. And, empowering women is just not something that you do in Mexico. It's barely something that, we see now, and it's barely starting. And so in Ciudad Juarez, where, it's not a safe place for women at all, and it's absolutely huge for them to be able to see someone that comes from, their barrio and has the same struggles and has made it. And it's huge, huge, huge for me to be able to be that figure. Para mí, lo más importante es que yo soy la primera latina en el rendimiento físico en el béisbol profesional. Y de donde yo vengo, eso no se ve. Yo soy de Ciudad Juárez, Chihuahua, y desafortunadamente Ciudad Juárez es el líder en el mundo entero, de la matanza de las mujeres, cada día. Entonces, eso es muy importante para mí, porque yo no debería estar aquí. Yo debería hacer otra estadística y no estar aquí. Entonces, gracias al sacrificio de mis papás, ¿verdad? Yo estoy aquí y estoy luchando por mis sueños, pero si ellos me pueden ver, alguien que se ve como ellos, alguien que habla como ellos, del barrio de donde ellos fueron, si pueden ver una figura y un ejemplo que pueden seguir, que les puede dar un poquito de fe, que no importa lo grande que sueñas, las posibilidades son eternas. Entonces, para mí eso es lo más importante sobre esta carrera. El dar un poquito de luz en lo que puede ser un hoyo tan negro que piensas que nunca va a salir. Eso es lo más importante para mí. Que vean a alguien que puedan decir, ok, si ella puede, yo puedo. Porque es el mensaje que yo les quiero dar a todos. A todas las niñas, ¿verdad? Que siempre les han dicho que no son buenas para nada, que solamente están aquí para tener bebés y servirle al marido. No, mamacitas. De todo lo que ustedes quieran hacer, se puede. Si pelean y van a la batalla todos los días, sí se puede. Y es el mensaje que yo quiero que las niñas y los niños de Ciudad Juárez y de México puedan ver, que uno puede llegar a un país que no es de ellos, pero hacerse dueños de la cultura, del lenguaje y batallar, porque no es fácil. Por eso, como te digo, cuando yo entiendo a los latinos que llegan de Dominicana que no saben lo que se están diciendo, porque tú sabes que si hay un latino con el que estás hablando y te está diciendo así, no tienen ni idea de lo que le estás diciendo. Entonces, yo me puedo conectar con ellos en ese sentido. Yo llegué a los Estados Unidos cuando tenía 6 años. Entonces, la gente me hablaba en inglés y yo asustada. Yo no sabía qué me estaban diciendo. Entonces, yo entiendo que es una batalla llegar a donde estoy, pero yo quiero ser esa luz, especialmente para las niñas de Ciudad Juárez, que a lo mejor piensan que no tienen futuro, que solamente están ahí para lo que el hombre diga. Y no tiene que ser así. Puedes luchar. Y yo soy muy bendecida de que por los sacrificios de mis padres yo pude llegar a donde estoy hoy.
You said it would be long, but it was definitely worthwhile to be that long. So you could talk as long as you want about that. That's really, really awesome. Congrats on being the first Latina SNC in pro ball and, you know, being the inspiration for a lot of people. That's really, really cool. The last one I have from you, any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
Ooh, MMA. I would love to be in MMA. I would love to be able to experience that. You know, I think when you think of MMA fighters, you think of monsters. Like, you think of killers. Like, they have this mindset of, I'm going to finish you off till they get me off of you. And I think that, you know, a lot of times we don't think about other sports that way. We think about just, you know, go out there and do your thing and be a beast, but they take it to a whole other level. So I would love to be a part of that. Me gustaría mucho ser parte de la del UFC, de las artes marciales. Yo pienso que es un concepto muy, muy abierto, de que la mentalidad de esos deportistas es extremadamente loca, que ellos saben que son unos matones y tienen que llegar hasta donde tengan que llegar para poder ganar.
Well, it's been fun. You got me out of my comfort zone and, you know, a lot of really good information in English and Spanish. So, gracias por hablar conmigo. And if the listeners want to get in touch with you, where can we get more? Is there social media or is there a better place?
Yeah, I'm not super involved in all social media. My biggest one is Instagram. It's @excuses0_. That's my brand that I've made, and like a little concept of, obviously, like, you just have zero excuses. We all have excuses, so that means that none of us have excuses, you know. So @excuses0_ is my Instagram.
Perfect. I'll link you up with the show notes. And like I said, thank you again for coming on. Gracias por hablar conmigo. and we will be talking soon.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for having me. Muchas gracias por tenerme en tu programa.
All right, everybody, that concludes this episode with Dre. I hope you guys really enjoyed this one. As I said a couple times in the episode, for me, this was really, really outside of my comfort zone. But I am really glad that we did it. You know, we're in the mid-70s in episodes now, and we always talk about trying to build relationships with Latin players and continuing to work on our Spanish. And so I think a podcast like this is actually long overdue. And I'm really grateful for Dre bringing the idea to me and bringing the energy in this episode. And she did a great job in both English and in Spanish. And maybe this can open some doors for us in the future. Three things that I took from Dre in this episode: have a top-notch work ethic, know what you bring to the table, but know that the table is big, and know that you are always a work in progress. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.